Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 11. It's a section entitled Rest for the Weary, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you, Lynn. My friends, do keep your Bibles open there. It's Matthew chapter 11. And if you want to follow along, there's a sermon outline there in your service sheets if you'd like to take notes and see where we're going. We're doing a short sermon series here at church over the next few weeks called What I Love About Jesus. And as I was saying last week, there's many things to love about Jesus, not least of which he dealt with our sin and reconciled us back to God. But also, the other thing about Jesus, or one of the many things about Jesus, is he helps us to do life well. We're looking at last week of how he helps us to do life well with regards to forgiveness and reconciliation with others. And today we're looking at this topic of rest and how Jesus brings rest for the weary. And it's a message we so need to hear. Often, and we probably do this a little bit at church after at morning tea, often we'll chat with people, go up to people and say, how are you going? And the normal response is, good, no? Oh, I'm okay. Or I'm all good. Or as our younger generation say, all G. But if you're to scratch beneath the surface a bit, and if we're to, you know, dig a little deeper, many of us will know that life is not all that good. Many of us are tired, we're time poor, we're exhausted with busyness of life, we're struggling with stress and anxiety and depression, we're dealing with financial pressures, we're dealing with raising little kids, we've got aging parents, we're coping with illnesses, we've got crazy work hours. And life is hard and it feels like there is little or no light at the end of the tunnel. And invariably when we, you know, life builds, gets crazy, even with school stuff, and we just want holidays. You know, our school kids are on holidays. My kids have been craving for holidays for the last few weeks. Finally, they've got there. And we want a break. We want to get away from the pressures of the thing that is around us that's burdening us, that's making us weary and tired and the stresses. And we hang out for the weekends, or we hang out for the long weekend, or we want to sleep in on the Saturday and have a nana nap in the afternoon and take mental health days just because we need a break. We need rest from all that. But while those things are good, holidays, weekends, sleep-ins, all those things, they're great, but they're not enough because the rest doesn't last, does it? It's just temporary. It's only a brief escape from the reality of the world around us. So, you know, holidays always come to an end. Weekends are too short. Doesn't matter how good your sleep-in was this morning, you're still going to be tired tonight. And so there's this constant frustration between seeking after rest that never satisfies or lasts and not being able to achieve it. You think about it, how often do you come back from holidays slightly depressed? Because I've got to face the reality of life again. Holiday was great, but now I'm back into it. So what our passage this morning shows us is that there is one who does bring hope and he does provide light for those who are feeling wearied and burdened by life, and that's Jesus. And he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. True rest, real rest, rest for your soul, rest that will never end. Now that sounds great, doesn't it? Question that comes to me as I was reading through this passage during the week is, who's this for? Who's Jesus offering rest for? Well, obviously it's the weary and burdened, but is that for everyone? Is everyone burdened and weary? Is it just for people who are hurting, burnt out, anxious, exhausted? And is it not for those who think they have it all together? And my life's okay, I'm not burdened. Well, I think it is for everyone. because everyone is burdened by something. Everyone is wearied by something. Now, let me explain. In this passage that Jesus is preaching from, in the Gospels where Jesus is speaking to the crowds and he's speaking to the religious leaders, it goes on in a little bit later in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders and again he talks about burdens that they are putting on the people. So Matthew 23, Jesus says, they, the religious leaders, tie heavy loads or burdens and they put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. And the burdens that he's speaking about in this context is the burden of man-made rules and religiosity that the religious leaders and Pharisees put on the people and in turn and impose on them in how they're to relate to God. And what it would do is have the effect of weighing heavy on their shoulders and heavy on their souls because they've been pushed into a life of religious rule-keeping that would just take away from the joy of life that's meant to come when we know the grace of God. And Jesus is offering rest from that. And so often when people think about Christianity, they think that it's all about law and rule-keeping and religion. You keep these religious commandments, you keep these laws, then God will love you and bless you and take you to heaven and answer your prayers. That's what some people think about Christianity. And that's an incredible burden. Because you'll never know whether you've been good enough or moral enough or religious enough to be accepted by God. And so that's a terrible burden. To say that Christianity is all about rule keeping. It's not. Jesus is saying, no, I've actually come to bring rest from that. I've come to give you relief from that burden. So we can be burdened by religious rule keeping and uncertainty about where we stand with God. But there are many other burdens we experience in life that Jesus brings rest from, even if you don't call yourself religious or fall into that sort of area as we were talking about before. For some, there's the burden of worldly success, getting the right grades, getting into the right uni course, getting the right job, being successful in your job, outperforming your peers in your job. You know, when I was working in the city, working at AMP, we had a big culture change, and instead of measuring staff by your plan, so in most companies you have a performance plan, and you sort of track how you're going according to that. What we would do is we were being forced or measured against our peers. So it didn't matter how well you're going against your plan, whether you're achieving your objectives in the workplace, if you weren't outperforming your peers at your sort of level in the organization, then if you got a A, B, C, D, or E, if you got a D or E relative to your peers, you're out. You've been cancelled out of the company. And I was on a project, it was under pressure, we were struggling, my boss is putting pressure on me, and I was going to work feeling sick, anxiety and stress and the burden. And so we have these sort of, where often we get burdened by worldly success or just surviving in the world. For others, there's the burden of being a parent, being a good enough parent. Am I doing enough for my kids? Are my kids going to turn out okay? Will they end up in counselling one day because of me? You know, that burden. Maybe not, but you know. And then for kids, sometimes it's the burden from parents, isn't there? Parents put burdens on kids to be good at school, to be well-behaved, to make the right life choices in life that are going to please them. And so we can all feel burdened. Trying to live up to someone else's standards or even our own standards, and often we end up feeling like I'm not good enough, I'm not living well enough, I'm not achieving enough. And so we have these burdens that we're dealing with. It could be religious burdens, moral acceptance with God or expectations from others. And Jesus is saying, I'm the only one who gives a solution to that. You know, scientists say that if you don't have at least 2 hours rapid eye movement sleep, like REM sleep a night, you wake up exhausted. And Jesus is saying, you're taking time off, you're having holidays, you're taking breaks, you're going on trips. But you can't get the deep inner rest, you can't get the REM sleep for your soul that you so badly need, and only I can provide that. And he's saying that to everyone in the world, not just to the Jews of his time, not just to religious people. He's saying it to everyone, I can give you rest for your soul that you crave. Okay, so we need rest. What is it? What's this rest that Jesus brings? Jesus goes on to say something that's completely against our culture and what we expect him to say. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How is he going to give you that rest? Well, he wants you to take on a yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says Jesus, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, what's a yoke? It's an agricultural term, isn't it? It's something that Jesus' hearers would have been familiar with, because a yoke is a wooden frame that goes across two beasts of burden, like a donkey's or oxen, and would ensure that they work together, going the same direction, pulling a heavy load like a wagon or a cart or something like that. And so wherever, and because they're yoked or joined together, they had to work together and go together the same direction. And Jesus saying, come to me and take on my yoke and follow me. Learn from me. That's the kind of relationship Jesus is offering. Now, in Jesus' day, that was a pretty common thing, to be yoked to a person. So not only were the disciples yoked to Jesus, but disciples would be yoked to other religious leaders in the day. Pharisees and teachers of the law had disciples. Even in Greek culture, there'd be disciples of the philosophers, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. They had disciples who were yoked to them. They followed them. They learned from them. And they would serve the teacher. They would live with them. They would be with them all the time. And so they were yoked to the teacher in every way. And so when Jesus is saying, come and put my yoke upon you and learn from me, he's saying, come and be my disciple. Come and follow me. Come and learn from me. I want you to come and make me the center of your life and let me dominate your life and determine your direction and rule and show you the way. That's how he wants you to find rest. Now, many respects would be much more comfortable if he would say, just come to me and I'll give you rest. But he doesn't. He says, come to me and take my yoke upon you to take on that burden of being his disciple. Now, we'll find out later, it's not actually a burden that's heavy, it's a burden that's light. But he wants us to be yoked to him. Now, our culture rejects this idea because our culture says, you mustn't give your authority over your life to anyone. We're very anti-authoritarian in our world. We don't like anyone telling us what to do, especially with our life. And our culture would say that's crazy to let anyone be and determine who you are and where you're going, and say the true rest comes in yoking yourself to anyone, let alone Jesus. Our culture is absolutely against that. But Jesus says the only real way to get true rest is to yoke yourself to him. Now you might want to say, but I don't want to be yoked to anyone. I want to be free. I want to have a complete freedom. I don't want to be tied to anyone. But friends, do you realize that you are yoked to something? We're all yoked to something. And therefore, none of us are completely free. You might say, I'm not yoked to anything. What am I yoked to? Well, it's the thing that you live for in your life. What's the thing you're living for in your life? Everybody has to live for something, right? Some people live for career. Some people live for pleasure, for family, for a relationship, for a cause. We all have something that gives us meaning in life that makes us want to get out of bed in the morning. Whatever you live for, that's the thing you're yoked to. Have you thought about that? So what are you living for? Is it a relationship? The thing that is your main joy and satisfaction in life is a person. Or do you realize that you're yoked to them? If that person's love and happiness is the main thing that you live for in life, then, well, you're yoked to them. You'll be mastered by them. You'll be emotionally over-dependent on them. You won't be able to take criticism from them because it will hurt you, it will devastate you. You won't be able to give criticism or feedback to them because you're fearful of them responding in a negative way and hurting you. See how you're yoked, mastered, if that's the thing you live for? Or what if you live for your job or your career? You say, no, I'm not an emotionally dependent person. I'm not dependent on people. I'm not yoked to a person. I'm self-sufficient. But if you're yoked to your career, you're making the quality of your career the thing that gives you joy and satisfaction and the measure of your worth. Or you might say, no, I'm more noble than that. I'm more selfless than that. It's not about me. It's not about the relationship I'm in or career. I'm living for my kids. How many parents say that? The kids, the thing I live for in life. Now that's a noble thing. But if it's the thing you live for, it means your well-being and happiness, your worth as a person, as a parent, is completely dependent on the success or failure of your children. And what that has the consequence of, it means you end up putting everything, makes everything subordinate to that. All relationships and activities are put on hold compared to that. You will tend to mollycoddle and pamper children, and or put pressure on children that will to perform to your standards and suffocate them and dominate them. You see, friends, we're not really free from anything. We're all yoked to something. And the question is, are you yoked to something that's going to bring you rest for your soul, or are you yoked to something that's going to cause you anxiety and unrest and burden your heart? Jesus says, take my yoke and yoke yourself to me, and I'm the only one who will give you true rest. Now, it doesn't sound very inviting still, does it? The fact that, in fact, it sounds pretty restrictive to be yoked to someone who's going to show you the way, who's going to teach you. But it really depends on who you're harnessed to, on who you're yoked to. Has anyone done skydiving before? No way in the world. Pauline, you started. I would never have picked that. Okay. When you did it, how did you do it? All right. So a tandem skydive, right? Okay. So a bit like this. Is that you? Right. Okay. It is you. Okay. All right. All right. Of course, when you tandem skydive, why do you do it in tandem? You've got the expert, exactly, right? You're jumping 14,000 feet out of a plane. You want to be harnessed to or yoked to an expert, don't you? The best. And friends, that's an example of being yoked or harnessed to someone for your good. You're physically connected to them. If you're skydiving out of a plane, your life depends on it. You want to be harnessed to the best, an expert diver. And when you do, like Pauline, you get to experience something amazing. Now, I'm with Trevor. I would never do it, but, you know, some would. My son said he wants to do it next year. All right, so the same is with Jesus, right? When you come to Jesus, you yoke yourself to him, you're yoking yourself to the best. You're yoking yourself to the good shepherd who laid down his life for you. You're yoking yourself to the suffering Messiah who is willing to die for your sin. You're yoking yourself to the powerful Son of God, whom God the Father has revealed all things to, and you're yoking yourself to the one who enables you to come to know and be in relationship with your Father in heaven. So being yoked to Jesus, friends, being harnessed to him means you're able to share in the rest he offers that is far greater than any rest you get to experience in life. Now, in case you're still skeptical, Jesus gives two reasons in the final couple of verses about why we can come to him and be yoked to him. And the first is there in verse 29. It's because he's gentle and humble in heart. Jesus is gentle. He welcomes little children. He's compassionate to the sick and suffering. He's merciful to the sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. And he is humble, humble enough to wash the disciples' feet, humble enough to come to this earth and go to a cross in your place. So friends, when we yoke ourselves to Jesus, we're not yoking ourselves to a harsh taskmaster who's going to whip us and tell us where to go and what to do for our detriment. No, we're yoking ourselves to one who is humble and gentle. The second reason there is in verse 30. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, if you're a person that's burdened by the weight of life, Jesus actually gives you a light yoke, an easy burden. If you're a person burdened by the weight of being a moral person or a religious person in order to be accepted by God, Jesus takes that burden off you. He takes it to the cross. And at the cross, he deals with that, because at the cross, he's bore your burden for sin and accountability and acceptability with God. If you're a person who's weighed down by the needing to be somebody in life, well, Jesus takes that burden off you, because at the cross, he says, you're so valuable to me, you're not just a somebody, you're everything to me. And I'll go to the cross and prove it. If you're a person that's stressed by finances and wealth, not having enough or keeping up with the Joneses, Jesus takes that burden off you, because he says he was willing to forgo the wealth and the riches of heaven and come to this earth as a slave and do all that so that you could be blessed with all the spiritual blessings of eternity. You see, friends, whatever it is that's weighing you down, that's burdening your soul, and Jesus takes that burden, he makes it light, because when you yoke yourself to him, You'll find his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So, we know we need rest. We know Jesus brings rest. How do we get it? Well, Jesus says we need to come to him like little children. See there in verse 25. In verse 25, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Now here, Jesus is speaking, coming to the end of an argument where he's rebuking those who have ignored his message of salvation and rejecting him. And he gets to that end of the section. He says, the wise and learned will not enter the kingdom of heaven because they don't think they need me. So these are religious leaders, the teacher of the law, those in the sort of the crowd who think they know better that they don't need Jesus, the wise and learned. But Jesus is saying the truth about the kingdom of heaven is actually revealed to little children and they will enter his rest. He's not saying just children, but those who live like, act like, think like children. Now, this is actually a common way that Jesus refers to becoming a Christian and being a disciple of him. As you go through the New Testament and the Gospels, Jesus talks about this in a number of times. Miles spoke about, our youth pastor spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. It was a great passage for us to think about how children teach us about our relationship with God. And so what Jesus is doing is using this metaphor of coming to him like a children is how to become a disciple, how to enter the kingdom, how to enter into his rest. They're all ways of saying the same thing. Now, why would Jesus say entering into the kingdom of heaven, entering into his rest is only for those who are like children? Well, because it's the characteristics of children that teach us so much about how we receive this rest that Jesus is offering. And there's two ways I want to draw out that little children are like what you and I need to do to become a Christian. Two characteristics of little children of how we come to Jesus and receive his rest. First of all, children know they're helpless. They know they're dependent on their parents. Now, I can think of countless examples where our kids know that they were helpless and dependent on mum and dad. They come and they ask you for things, to do things for them, to give them things they need. Now, I'm talking about when they're little kids, right? Not now. They make their own lunches now. They do all that. That's great. But when kids are little, and you'll experience this if you had children as well, they come to you, ask you stuff all the time, the help stuff. Dada, I need wee-wee. Mama, cuddle. Yeah. Mama, I'm hungry. Daddy, carry me. And so yeah, they come to you. They know they're dependent. They know you can help. And so they come and they ask you for the help. And friends, to become a Christian, you need to know and act like you are helpless, like a child. To humble yourself and swallow your pride and be someone who knows that you can't be like the wise and learned. To realize that you can't make your own way to heaven. You can't earn it. You can't moralize your way in. You can't pay your way in. You can't reason your way in. You're utterly dependent on God when it comes to entering into heaven and enjoying the rest that Jesus offers. We need to come to him like a child and say, I need your grace, I need your forgiveness, I can't do it without you, I can't pay the debt without you, I'm spiritually helpless without you. That's the first thing. Recognizing that we're spiritually helpless and utterly dependent on God when it comes to entering into Jesus' rest. The second thing is children know they are greatly loved. The amazing thing about kids is that they're exceedingly confident of the care and the love of adults. One of the blessings I have of teaching scripture here at school, I teach year five this year, but often I fill in and cover for Tiffany or Eliza in kindy. And these little, you know, five-year-old kids, they're a real delight to teach. And one of the blessings of teaching them is that they love being loved. If you show them some care and attention in class, they love you for it. So when I'll walk through the playground 3 months later and I'll have a chorus of kids going, Mr. Mays, and they're waving to me. It's delightful. And I come into class, you know, a few months later and I just have 20 kids just come over and want to hug me, you know, or 20 hugging my legs, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, not fall over. But they know that I love them and I care for them. And friends, that's the second thing about coming to Jesus and sharing his rest is you've got to believe that Jesus Christ loves you and cares for you. You know, like little children, we stuff up. We know we get things wrong. We hurt people. We let people down. and we do the same to God. But the joy of coming to Jesus and knowing that despite all of this, you are deeply loved. He says, come to me, all who are weary, just as you are, with all your sins and your failings and your hurts and your sufferings, and submit yourself to me. Submit yourself to my yoke, learn from me, and know you are deeply loved, and he will give you rest. So friends, we're all weary, we're all burdened by something. We're all desperately in need for rest for our souls. Jesus offers that rest. He says, come to me, take the yoke of discipleship upon you, learn from me, and I'll give you rest for your souls. You just need to come to me like little children, knowing you are spiritually helpless and knowing you are deeply loved. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who you sent into our world for our sake. Thank you that he not only deals with our sin and reconciles us to you, but he also helps us to do life well, and he brings us rest in our anxiousness, our busyness, our tiredness, and all our burdens. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to come to Jesus and accept the yoke of discipleship that he asks us to take on, to follow him, to learn from him, knowing that Jesus' yoke is a good yoke to wear, because it takes away our own burdens, that he is humble, he is gentle with us, and his yoke is light and easy. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to come to him like little children, recognizing we are so spiritually helpless, but also knowing we are so deeply loved. We pray these things in your mighty name. Amen.